Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the 2018 AEN Candidacy Preparation Training for Ordination Consecration. This is July 19th. I pray that your journey is proceeding spiritually, edifying, and building, bringing you to clarification and with great expectation, preparing you for that which will take place in 1 month. This is the 1 month anniversary or timeline before your ordination, and we are excited about the journey. So we pray that you can all hear me well. I've taken your phones and made you live. You keep your phones on mute so that we don't hear your background noises. So we're going to ask one of our men of God to open us up in a word of prayer. We're asking at this time for our intercessors to get in place, position yourself as intercessors for the candidates as they are experiencing a variety of spiritual attacks in their bodies, in their families, in their finances, in their professional life, in their homes, and in their minds. And so we want to cover them in prayer and intercede on their behalf. So do we have one of the men of God being ordained or consecrated on the line to open us up in prayer? And we will ask our apostle to do so. Amen.
So, Father, we do. We honor you. We bless you. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you for your word that brings about new life. Thank you for your word that brings about growth and correction and development. Thank you for these, your candidates. We thank you for their process. We thank you that in their process, they will have peace in the pain, peace in the perplexity, that there will be peace along their journey. We thank you, Lord, that your great hand is upon them. Thank you for the work that's over their life. Thank you for the work that's on their assignment. And thank you for the work that's in their life. And we bless you forward. We thank you for those who will hold us accountable in this process, and we bless you for your perfect outcome. Let that which has been written in heaven manifest in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that one of our callers on the line will give their reflections. We are experiencing some technical difficulties, and I need to see if it is going to transmit your voice. And so if you could just prepare to just give us one of your reflections from your consecration heart precepts. Anybody on the line, please step up and do so. I need one of our candidates to come forward. Minister Cecilia, are you on the line? Thinking it. Minister Cecilia, are you on the line? If you're on the line and you're trying to speak and you don't hear yourself, can you just send me a text? Send it to 630-701-4303. That will help us to do some troubleshooting. You are trying to speak. Can't hear me. All right. But I take it that you guys can hear me, so I don't understand quite what's going on with our system here. And I just pray that you would be patient. Yes, we hear you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. So I'll just continue to talk because you do hear, and there is a lot that we do want you to be aware of, particularly our candidates that won't be here on the 29th, when we have our fellowship, and it's going to be a time of introducing you to the organization that is conferring your mantle. And the AEN has been birthed out of the need for unity in coming together on one accord, coming together in the oneness of Christ. And so you have an organization that is used by other parachurches, ministries, churches, individuals to enhance their ministries through growth, through teaching, training, networking, and preparation. We have a lot of programs that are available to the members of the AEN. They will be available to you as well. We do have expectations for you from the AEN as they have prepared you for ministry. We're praying, and part of the requirement is going to be, so put them on.
One moment, please.
Yes. Mr. Jewell, can you say something?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right, our apostle has resolved the problem, I guess. I don't know how. So we do have I do apologize. This is just amazing. This technology, as wonderful as it is, as my grandson says, it glitches from time to time, and you really need to be technologically inclined to figure it out. And so at this point, we're using two phones and a computer. And so we just pray that you will bear with us. But as we can hear you, I would love for you to share your reflection from your consecration. So, Minister Jewell, can you start, please?
Yes, ma'am. So one of the reflections that I did was a sincere heart, and that is Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth, and it says the salt that remains salty, representing sincerity and genuineness that commands the respect of men. So, during my reflections, I just was just talking to God. And so it says, why, Lord, why do we constantly revert back to our former ways as if we haven't been taught how to love and be peaceable? You've given us the milk of the word and are waiting for us to receive the meat of the word. We are like malnutrition children. So we are frail, and because of the lack of good spiritual nourishment, it becomes our fault, you know, when we fall and when we stumble. It's our choice not to progress in the knowledge of you. We are so weak that with any little blow of wind, we crumble. We would rather do things for instant gratification rather than to do what is right and have everlasting life. God, will you help me to see the schemes of the devil and resist so that I will continue to grow in you and not have to repeat the lessons? We are the salt of the earth. Do not lose your flavor because of carnal thinking.
Amen. Amen. Elder Davinia, you were trying to speak. Can we hear you now?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my reflection on the 18th was from, that was what, yesterday? That was from Matthew 5, 21 to 22, a harmless heart. So my reflection was, well, at least my declaration was to be a good steward over all that God gives me as I'm participating in teaching a vacation Bible class for 4 to 6 graders, and I'm enjoying that. You know, my husband, my children, my granny babies, all those who labor us for Christ, CCTI, the apostle, everyone who has been a part of my life at this stage to get me where I am. So I said, when Holy Spirit shows up in prayer, it's a beautiful thing. My prayers have weight to them. I'm praying that God will release such a powerful anointing that when others come into my presence, they don't experience me, they experience him. And when they leave, they tell no one. Amen. And that's my reflection from the 18th.
Amen.
Having a harmless heart. All right, that's it for me. I'm going off.
Amen. Anyone else?
This is Sister Winslow. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we can.
My reflections are from the 19th, wholehearted. A wholehearted Christian is one who desires and seeks God in it in all they do. My scripture is Psalms 119:2. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and seek him with their whole heart. A wholehearted Christian is one whose relationship is more important than anything. My prayer and declaration, Lord, help me seek after you with my whole heart and present myself blameless before you. I need you in my life more than anything. Keep me with a hunger and a thirst for thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we continue the flow? Again, if you're trying to speak and you don't hear, you're going to have to text me. Because, like I said, we're working with many devices here.
Good evening, everybody. This is Emerging Elder Kamisha.
Okay.
I want to go back to a tamed heart. Blessed are the meek. This is a heart that does not seek revenge or retaliation for wrongs, but accepts circumstances. and it's the opposite of wrath. And when I did my reflection, I did it in conjunction with an actual prophetic devotional that flowed right into this, and it says, and the Lord says, finding the flow of my spirit is like finding a fresh stream. It will move and refresh you. When you find that spiritual flow, you will be able to stay on track with what I'm doing in your life. Then you can stay on task. Seek me for direction in doing my will, for I indeed will show you the way to be the best version of yourself that you can be, says the Lord. And that coincided for me having a tamed heart and not going to seek revenge or retaliation, simply because when we allow God to literally circumcise the heart, we don't go after, we don't fight our battles, we don't do any of those things, anything. We begin to shift into a place of maturity and permit him to stand and prophesy and fight those battles on our behalf. And so the prayer of declaration is, Father, loose those that are imprisoned from captivity and darkness, but fill me with your power and strength to take the glorious message of your love and mercy and hope to them. Let them see the salvation of the Lord that has been given to them through the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Let the exiles be loosed from the bonds of wickedness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Do we have Minister Vagene on the line? All right. Does anyone else want to give their reflection? Well, I would like to read some of the declarations, the decree and declares that different ones have sent in. Now, for this consecration, you don't have to send every day your reflection. Your reflection every day is what is a part of your journal. That's just for you. The only things that were being sent in was the introduction to the consecration that included the questions that were there for the first reflection that was what might these other factors be for you, factors that are a problem for us, keeping us from the heart and the precepts given by Christ, and then answering the question, how will you submit to the process of ongoing conversion? And then the question, what will this look like for you over the next year? And then the reflection on what is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And we need a major conversion, what that would look like, and how will you become your message? So as you reflected on the concepts that these principles and precepts were given to us by Jesus Christ on the mountain, and some of the reasons that we can consider as we read each one of the message he was delivering to us, it includes that the Sermon on the Mountain is a revelation of the new covenant standard. So there's some standards that's being established, that the Sermon on the Mount is the law of God wrought out in our hearts. Okay, so that means it's established not just in writing, but on the tablets of our heart. It deals with the greatest problems in the heart of man. And in that, I would like to share with you one of the 10 conditions that exist in the heart of man. One second, please. Hills Trio book. Okay. That we need to consider as we're reading this and as we are doing this study in the precepts of the Sermon on the Mountain, we should also understand it says it will determine our position in heaven. So it's giving us positional information and what we are to do with it. It is not an immediate reality. We are to realize that it is something that takes time. I thought it was wonderful that most people realize that they realize it, but they don't embrace that. And so they do want it to happen. I think one person shared the fact that, you know, they got 1,000 questions they want God to answer right now, like right now. And not waiting on the process. Some of the powerful, to me, some terms that I saw in your writing and in your reflections was the pace of the process, realizing that the process has a specific pace that it's going to take that is based on the will of God and the plan of God. A lot of the different things that are hindrances to us are those things that we have allowed to be established in our hearts from things that have caused our emotions to not be whole. And so, as a result, there are 9 conditions of our souls. And we also see these conditions when we look at our fruit inspection, which was part of what you were to do with the relational paperwork that you turned in, and a fruit inspection. What is your assessment of the fruit that is evident in your life, the love, the joy, the peace, long-suffering, self-control, gentleness, kindness? And all of these things have their root in the precepts of the Sermon on the Mount. And where we fall short is generally because our souls have been damaged. And the symptom and the scripture passage to renew our mind and put us on the path towards proper healing comes out of the Sermon on the Mount. And the kind of souls and emotions that have been damaged is, number one, a conflicted soul, unable to make rational decisions, tossing to and fro, highly unstable, and overly emotional. Sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions erodes the bones, coming out of Proverbs 14 and 30. And then number two, a tormented soul, high levels of accusation, fear of punishment, dread over past mistakes, a heavy lack of peace. There is therefore no condemnation. These are the scriptures that will replace that brokenness in our spirit and cause the conditions of our hearts to reflect the fruit that is supposed to be seen from us as leaders, as coming out of Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and the peace of God. And we know these scriptures that passes all understanding will protect our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, through the knowledge of him, through the yoking ourselves with him, through learning of him. And then there's that fearful soul, fearful and anxious on a regular basis, unable to do certain activities because of abnormal levels of fear, fear of rejection, fear of failure. But it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So these are some of the scriptures, again, that are used to to exercise in our daily living so that that fruit can come forth and that heart condition, that precept can be honored and properly mirror God. And number four, the anxious soul, nervous and easily panicked, void of peace and rest, anxiety attacks, and bouts with a racing heart and or heavy breathing. And he says, be anxious for nothing. A rejected soul, easily offended and continually needing unnatural levels of affirmation, unnatural levels, easily offended. For if my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. And do we really believe that? And can we really apply that to the conditions of the heart, the precepts that Christ is giving to us? A weary soul, tired and frustrated, a lack of flow in the spirit, feeling frustrated and assuming that the kingdom work will not produce the promised harvest. Just because we haven't seen it and we've labored in it so long and we don't see the results of it, then we get a weary soul. But you know, he says, don't be weary in well-doing. And yet we know that and we say that, and yet still our soul gets weary. And then the offended soul, holding grudges and refusing to let go of past wrongs. This type of emotional wound is yoked to a spirit of bitterness and infirmity that can manifest in very crippling diseases. And yet he says, bear with one another and forgive one another. That was one of his declarations, what they were going to decree and declare, that they would bear with one another, forgive one another, and not have quarrel, realizing that these things have to be exercised on a regular basis in our everyday walk as situations and things come our way. And then eight, we have the lost soul, a vagabond mentality, refusing to be stable in the word of God and the will of God, seeking things from one church to another, from one set of ministries to another, just a lost soul wandering around. But it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, and ungodly in that it is not God's will for you. Not saying that you're in a brothel or you're in a bar, but if you're in the wrong place spiritually, then that is not the place for you. You cannot be blessed, for that counsel cannot help your destiny and your soul. And then number nine, the wounded soul, enduring hurts and long-term wounds. This creates a toxic mental environment that sees everything in a negative light. The Lord is my shepherd, and that should satisfy and respond to whatever our situation is. That is what our response, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything that I need. And then 10, refuse a confused soul, vacillating between ideas, unsure of identity, lacking clarity, not resolved and firm in thought, decision, or direction. And in some of those areas, it is not true, but in other areas, it's where that weakness lies that causes us to violate some of the 33 precepts that Christ brought to us in the Sermon on the Mount. There is a more excellent way, and often that way is not understandable to us, but we do it in believing that Christ, because Christ said it, then it is so. And as we do it in obedience, the understanding will come as Holy Spirit teaches and corrects and guides us into the way of the kingdom of God. And so we want you to continue in your look at each one of these precepts and look at them as it relates to fruit of the Spirit. Look at them as it relates to those things that wound and cripple our emotions. and what may be buried within us. A lot of you brought forth that in your reflections on day one and day two of the things that Holy Spirit was bringing to light so that it may be perfected and you are a leader that was wounded but is not wounded, and you do not minister out of your woundedness. It has become the power of your ministry because he has brought the answer to your spirit. And so we are going to continue to have our presentation today. We should have presentation for our accountability partner. We're looking, there's the 19th. However, Evangelist Rosemary, I don't think that she's going to be available today. So does anyone else on the line, are they prepared to do their accountability scripture element? Anyone else on the line prepared to do it? Minister LaJean?
I'm prepared.
Oh, is this Sister Cynthia?
Yeah.
Can you kind of speak up? I'm not sure who that was.
That wasn't me, but I'm prepared to go today over.
Amen. All right. I'm not sure that your accountability partner is on the line. Okay, well, let me introduce you to Sister Cynthia Brenham, who's been in ministry for over 20 years, faithful in her ministry towards women. She has been in many organizations to assist those that are abused or those that are seeking counsel, those that are seeking life coaching, and she has dedicated her efforts both professionally as well as spiritually to help bring them to places where they honor themselves, that they recognize who they are and the value and how valuable they are and how important they are to the kingdom. She is a determined woman. She is a mother that has rejoiced in watching her children come to serve and love the Lord. She has relocated into our ministry in Las Vegas, and yet she's very much a part of the ongoing process here in Illinois. And I present to you Sister Cynthia Brenham, who is going to speak on joyful and prayerful, the accountability scriptural element of joyful and prayerful, as it comes out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Sister Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, when we first received this assignment, we were under the understanding that it was a team effort. So my accountability part was so joyful as I did prayerful. I'm going to give you what I have. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. During this assignment, I had to examine my own behaviors and mindset concerning this scripture. I had to admit that I was not rejoicing, and my prayers were scheduled and as needed. In Jeremiah 33, we learned that through prayer, we receive fresh revelation from God. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives us instructions on how and what matter and which. In Matthew 7 and 21, find that we must believe that we will, that when we pray, we will receive an answer for the from the Lord. The book of Romans shares with us that we receive help from the spiritual, from the spirit, by prayers, even when we do not know when to pray or what to pray for. We are to rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer, according to Romans 12 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 18, the word of Paul tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Emphasis on watching. There is a supernatural expectation when we pray without ceasing. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful about nothing, but in everything be prayer by praying and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. Colossians 4 and 2 continue prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Having an expectation and being thankful in the privilege of the access that we have to God through prayer. To be prayerful, we should develop a spirit of dependency that should saturate everything that we do. This is the very spirit and core of prayer. It's a necessity. Even when we are not speaking intentionally to God, there should be a deep, unshakable dependency on Him that is woven into the very fabric of our faith. In that sense, we are praying. We experience a spirit of dependency constantly. And to have this kind of nature, I believe, brings us right to the heart of God. We should never give up on prayer. We cannot come to a point in our lives where we say prayer doesn't work. I've heard people say, I prayed and prayed and nothing is happening. Giving up on prayer would be the very opposite of without ceasing. This should not be an option to the believer. Paul gives us an example of praying without ceasing for others. Romans 1 and 9, where he tells those who were called living in Rome that without ceasing he makes mention of them always in his prayers. This tells us that being prayerful consists of praying for others constantly, not only when we feel like it. The key to rejoicing always is to be praying constantly. Being disciplined in regular times of prayer during the day keeps this kind of without ceasing prayer alive. See that discipline with Daniel 6 and 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writings were signed and he went home, and in his upper room with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he was accustomed. Examining my own commitment to prayer, we should see that there is deliverance in praying without ceasing. Being prayerful will keep you from the temptations of the world. Even though our spirits are willing, the flesh is weak. In praying, we are reassured that God hears our prayers, sees our tears, and will heal. There is forgiveness in His presence through our prayers. Acts 4 and 31 tells us, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Prayer will shake things upside down. Speak even more boldly the word of God in our ministry when we pray without ceasing. I want to just leave you with this. Romans 8 and 29 and 30. For those whom before known, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among brethren. And these whom he predestined, he has called. And these whom he called, he has justified. And these whom he's justified are also glorified. Jesus was our true example of walking in a lifestyle that was the core of praying without ceasing, in his behavior and in his mindset, in his image. Devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful. I'm done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. You guys are doing a phenomenal job in bringing your presentations. And I pray that it's more than just a presentation, but rather it's an insight and it's revelation into what structure build and what pillar is to hold up your ministry and your ministry life and the attitude that you are to have in ministry. And that is the thing that the world sees, not so much your ministry and what you do, but who you are and how you project that to them. And so we thank you for that presentation on that pillar of prayerfulness. We do want to let you know that as a class, you do have a prayer team that are interceding for you. And when you have concerns and there are things that are going on, you're not alone. And don't think that it's just happening to you, but it's happening to all of the class members, and you probably would just be amazed if you just all sat down and start telling the different things that have been going on since you gave God your yes. But there are those that are praying on your behalf. And he has promised that he will perfect all things concerning you. And so we trust him in that. And so we want to do a little housekeeping and give Elder Sherita opportunity to share with you information that she has. Elder Sherita?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everyone. Just want to remind the accountability partners to submit your 5 questions to Overseer by July 23rd. And then for the conference, it is about 3.5 weeks away. So we're asking everyone who hasn't registered to register now. The cutoff date for registration and to reserve your hotel rooms is July 31st. And then after July 31st, conference registration will be based on availability, and there will be an additional charge. And then also that applies to the banquet tickets as well. After the 31st, it's going to be based on availability, and there will be an additional charge. So a great opportunity for those who haven't registered would be to register at the July 29th AEN Fellowship Gathering. You will be able to register. You'll be able to reserve your hotel room. You'll be able to purchase banquet tickets. And then if you, for whatever reason, are not able to make it, you can still register on Eventbrite. And you can also make your payment on Eventbrite, or you can fill out the registration form and mail it in with your payment to the P.O. Box. So, again, just register, register, register. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Amen. Also, Elder Sherita, I believe Apostle says that they can pay via PayPal. And that PayPal,
yes.
You have the PayPal address is AEN. I wrote it down. AEN.LFC@gmail.com.
Yes.
Again, that PayPal account is AEN.LFC@gmail.com. And that way it will go straight into the funds and you will get instant credit for it, and you can be timely. That way you don't have to worry about the snail mail. Amen. Amen. As we are preparing for your ministry, we had talked a little last week about your tests or your business cards or your symbols that will identify your ministry. And so we have Pastor Marlette, who is going to bring us some of the elements of worship. and the different things that the scripture says about certain symbols and elements that we use to represent our worship. We do want to encourage you to go before the Lord. We had a couple of people last year who were just lay members as far as they were concerned, and yet the Lord, after soon after their ordination, in fact, during part of the conference, they believed they had heard from the Lord to with a name, and the name a sight unseen. And one of our visually challenged women realized that God was giving her a ministry. She had no idea how to start, what to do, and so we wanted to start to share with you, your friends and your family. For a lot of you, will now recognize you as having been prepared for the office and the title that you are that will be conferred upon you, and they will ask you to do things, preach a sermon, bring the message on a Women's Day, to speak at fundraisers, to do different things. So you want to start preparing yourself and preparing how you will, as I'm told, brand yourself. What will be recognized as a part of you. We had another pastor who came forth, and his wife is on the line, and she can share with you how he came up with his patch. And the colors is very unique. The shape, the color, Sister Brenda, and she can share with you also the place that they went to get their patch. Sister Brenda?
Yes, I'm here. The Lord had given my husband the name of it several months ago, and as soon as he told me, the name of the ministry, I immediately start seeing different symbols and different things, and he wanted his New Covenant Revival Movement, and the symbol is a cross with a dove, and on either side of it, one is a bell and one is a pomegranate. And they have both particular meanings, and from that I just took that and made him a patch, and I Minister April told me of this company. It's called The Studio. They are excellent. They do. The work is just phenomenal. It's an embroidery patch, and whatever you, if you can think it, they can create it. So I sent them in the rough sketch of it, and I went back and forth maybe about six times. They want you to get it perfect. If it's not perfect, they say keep coming back, and they'll change it to make it exactly what you want. But it is it's a very, very good company.
Amen. And the quality of it is very good. I have seen it. It is extremely professional. It's a very, very fine piece of work. And so I encourage you, because you don't know. Don't just discount it, but leave yourself open to the move of the Spirit and the things that He is sharing with you. Write them down. Write them down in your journal, okay? All right, we are going to, we were waiting on Pastor Marlette for a minute. But we do want to share with you the fact that coming to the hotel at the conference in your session are mandatory. There are ways to act out of them by going to other sessions that are going to be presented some things we will want to go and be a part of because of the nature of what's being presented to the entire function. So we ask that everybody make sure their phone's on mute so that we don't get, you know, all of the background noises makes it very difficult. Sometimes you think it is on mute. I know I have, and it has not been. So we do want to it is mandatory that you do come. You can opt out. There are some classes that are being actually developed because of you and because of your reflections and because of some of the things that you have brought to the surface. Revelation and teaching is going to go forth, and we're very, very excited about that. And so we encourage you to be prepared for a powerful move of Holy Spirit as he brings us to an environment of learning and of revelation. And remember, we're the ones that establish the environment. We establish the attitude and the atmosphere. And they have that before the worship service. But we want to have that from the moment we come on site at the hotel on that Wednesday in preparation for the 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we want to come forth with that atmosphere from our preparation through our consecration, through prayer, through your declarations, the things that you are decreeing. It will all come when we come together. And so we are going through your names for vesting. I have a list of the people who I received it from, and so if you don't hear your name in this list, I don't have it, and you need to contact me, and I can let you know the dispensation of things. And so, okay, we have for Sister Brenda Winslow, we have yours. Minister Antonio Miles, we have yours. Minister Lejeune, we have yours. Elder Davinia, we have yours. We have Sister Aricep, Elder Sarah, we have yours. Emerging Pastor Joseph Bivens, we have yours. Those are, and Minister Jewel Cooper, we have yours. Those are the only ones that we have. They've been under approval. They will be contacted. And anybody else, you're going to have to let me know. And we can let you know
Hello.
If we can't. Yes. Send me a text.
This is Minister C.T. Miles.
Yes.
I submitted mine. Did you? You have no record of it?
I don't have it recorded. If you could just resend it to me, it would be great.
Okay. Thank
I
you.
Do have
oh,
your
Cynthia, this is Cynthia. You don't have mine.
I know, but I sent mine before he sent his. So. I'll send it again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Cynthia, I do have yours.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Anybody else? I believe that next week is the 6, and okay. No, next week is the 26th, and I think that just leaves 3 more of our phone conference that we have left. Is there anything specific that you want us to address? Please let me know. If you have any questions tonight, please let me know so that we make sure we're able to answer your questions. We have a tentative schedule for the conference. Someone about to say something? Yes.
Overseer?
Yes.
Hi, this is Catherine. I wanted to know, when will we get the schedule for the conference for Thursday through Monday? When will we get it? I kind of know what I'm doing.
Okay, you will get that probably when you get there. You will get our schedule. We will we can email it to everyone the week before the conference, so you will know. We gave you the time. They haven't changed. And the classes for the general session have not been listed yet, and so the people that want to go to some of the classes in the general session, we have to wait till those classes are identified before we can make the adjustment. So the adjustment can be made, probably will be made on site as it relates to going to classes on the general session. There are classes for your family and friends that may not be clergy, interesting course information will be shared, and there will be an area for them. You will be given lunch as an AEN offering to you during our session on Friday from 12 to 1:30. The AEN will provide lunch as they present their 2019 agenda and welcome you to the AEN. So that's going to be Friday at 12, and then that afternoon you will be doing your examination. Any more questions? I hope that was helpful, Pastor.
It was, but will we have any downtime besides going to bed?
Oh yeah, yes. You do have downtime, but I must remind you that the night sessions are mandatory. Okay? So they have a worship service on Friday. You'll want to be there. It's a surgical operation. You're going literally into a medical environment that's spiritually prepared to do some surgery on some people. Doctors, nurses, surgical nurses, the whole nine yards is going to be phenomenal. And we do expect all of the candidates to be there. Your afternoons are over generally around 4 o'clock. And so you have a 3 to 4 hour break there. They don't start till 9, 10, and so 9, 10, or sign up and you have your breakfast that you're getting as well. Some expectations that the AEN has of the candidates is we expect you at least for 1 year to serve in some capacity in the AEN, making yourself available as accountability partners, as instructors, teachers, a variety of tasks and assignments are going to be made. We expect to have you have part of your requirement is that you have proof of active participation in the area in which you are being ordained, and this can come from your referring leader, your pastor, proof of tithing, proof of spousal endorsement, as well as interviewing from authorized staff. And generally what this is your leaders will interview you, or those that have referred you to this process are the ones that will keep that first line of accountability with you, and then they will then inform us of your continual compliance and give us a letter of good standing that you have in them. Okay. Are there
Thank
any
you.
More questions? Oh, you're very welcome. And we'll go into more detail on site, what that looks like. Okay, so if there's nothing else, next week we will do the Talik and the Shofar, all elements of worship that you're asked to bring, the Talik, as well as the Shofar, which is a very integral part, will be a very integral part of your ordination, so that you will get that as well. So if there be nothing else, we ask if one of our men of God on the line can close us out in prayer. One of our men of God on the line?
Yes. This is Pastor Winslow.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, you know, if my wife is on the line, you know I got to be on the line, right?
That's necessary.
But I just want everybody to know that's how you continue to have fellowship with the AEN a year after your ordination. It comes in all different kinds of forms. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Did you pray?
No problem. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come now, Lord God, giving you all the praise, all the honor and glory. We thank you for the path that you placed us on and for the journey that you have guided us through. We thank you for those who are participating in this journey, and we thank you for those who are guiding us in this journey. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that you continue to pour out your wisdom, your health, your strength, your guidance. Help us, Lord God, to develop a greater hunger and thirst that in the end we shall obtain the glory that you have decided for us to obtain. These things we ask now, forever giving everyone all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And we will talk with
amen.
You next week and see you next week. So good night.